There was one guy who got on one of those dating websites for farmers. And he put his profile on there, and beneath it he typed, single man with farm. Farm has well-built house, 40 acres of tillable land. This farmer is just looking for a good woman with a tractor. And I guess he might have gotten burned on some other dating websites or something, because after that, then he posted, if you respond to this profile, please send recent photo of the tractor. You've got to hand it to those guys. Sometimes you just got to put first things first, right? And that's what the Apostle Paul's been doing with the church at Corinth. He's already spoken to them about the need to abstain from sexual immorality. He's talked to them about whether a person's a Christian single or whether they're in a marriage relationship. Both of those can be blessed situations if they keep their relationship with Jesus first and foremost. And that's what brings us to today's passage. Here Paul tells us all of our earthly relationships, all of our earthly circumstances, all of the circumstances of our lives are for the purpose of furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this sermon is entitled, Use Your Circumstances. First of all, Paul said, use your birth circumstances to share the gospel. Look at verse 17 in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so ordained in all the churches, was anyone called while circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. In verse 17, Paul reminds the Corinthian believers in that church that it's God who's distributed all things to all people in all of life's circumstances. That means all of our circumstances belong to God. Whatever they happen to be, the believer is to walk firmly and confidently in and through those circumstances, because all of the circumstances of life are things that God can use to further his purposes in and through our life. Everything. This agrees completely with what Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome in Romans 8:28, where he said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That means everything is according to his purpose, not ours. Paul was born and raised a Jew. That was his primary ethnicity. And the primary identifying characteristic for Jewish males was physical circumcision. Jewish males were required by the Old Testament law to be circumcised on the eighth day after birth. It was to be a permanent physical reminder to the Jewish male of his covenant relationship to God throughout his life. And Jews were proud of the fact that they had this constant reminder that they were separate from the other peoples. They were separate from the Gentiles, the non-Jewish nations. But here, as in other places, Paul says a person's ethnic identity, such as his own identity as a Jewish man, did nothing to actually determine whether or not he had a relationship with God. Instead of relying upon a physical characteristic, Paul said what really determines your relationship to God is whether or not you're keeping the commandments of God. Jesus put it this way in John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. In verse 24, Jesus said, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Paul said, being Jewish, ethnically and physically, doesn't and cannot determine a person's relationship with God. A person's faith is demonstrated by their actions lived in obedience to the Word of God. Nevertheless, Paul said, if being a Jew allowed him to gain an audience with other Jews, he would use his Jewish heritage for the purpose of promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he writes to the Corinthians. Turn a page here to chapter 9, verse 19 in 1 Corinthians. And he says, for though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul said he was going to use whatever it was, whether it was his physical descendants, the circumstances as a Jewish man, or whether it was his new identity as Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. None of those attributions mattered to him. What matters was that he was going to use everything at his disposal to share Jesus with whoever would listen to him. What Paul's getting at is this: those in the natural order of this world are looking at what is merely outward and physical, those identifying markers that help us to group ourselves in distinct groupings. But Paul said those things are no longer relevant to us when we're in Christ. They don't really determine who we are. Remember what God told Samuel. When Samuel was looking for the next king of Israel in 1 Samuel 16:7, God said, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I've refused him. The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Can I get a witness? In John 13:35, Jesus didn't say, "All men will know you're my disciples if you're of the same racial heritage or nationality." He didn't say, "People will know you're my disciples if you wear a certain hairstyle or wear a cross around your neck." What did he say in John 13:35? He said, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love is the distinguishing characteristic. In verse 18, Paul refers to those who called while circumcised. Paul himself was a circumcised Jewish male. And he said to those people, "Since God chose you to be born into a Jewish family, don't try to change your Jewish heritage. Don't become uncircumcised." Now, what he's pointing out was, in that day and time, being Jewish wasn't always cool in every culture. So there were some who were distancing themselves from their Jewish past, even going so far as to have physical alterations done that would change that appearance about them. Paul said, that's not the deal. It's not important for a Jewish person to become a non-Jew. Neither is it important for a non-Jew to become a Jew. But Paul said he was going to use his Jewish heritage. If you notice, everywhere Paul went in the book of Acts, that he would go first to the synagogues. He would go to the Jews first. Why? Because he was a Jew. And he was speaking about a Jewish Messiah. They should have been the very first to listen to him. But when they rejected him, Paul would always go down the street and start speaking to the Gentiles. Use whatever physical characteristic. Use whatever ethnic group would accept him. He would use whatever situation or circumstance was to his advantage if it helped reaching others with the soul-saving gospel of Jesus. So how are we supposed to do that in our day and time? We're Gentiles in a Gentile society. What? Well, let me give you a little for instance. You guys warm in here, or is it just me? It's warm. Okay. Now, tomorrow we're going to be complaining because it's cold. But I'll give you a little for instance. Those of you who, like me, are born in Appalachia know what a for instance is, right? And by the way, West Virginia is the only state that's entirely within the region of Appalachia. I was born and raised in West Virginia. I speak Appalachian quite fluently. I speak it like all y'all do. I remember one time Sharon and I were making a connecting flight. We were trying to get home from Arizona. And they had changed not just the gate from which our plane was going to be flying, they changed the terminal out of which the plane. We realized we didn't have much time to get to where we were going if we were going to make that next connecting flight. So we've started heading for this terminal at pretty much breakneck speed. And we weren't sure even if this was correct because they'd already changed it a couple times. And And I'll tell you what happened next. I heard a voice out of the cacophony of voices. I heard a voice, one traveler talking to another traveler, explaining about the change of terminals and gates. And I recognized the voice. And I said, "Sharon, we're going the right direction. This guy's going there too." Because I could take, and sure enough, that guy was going, trying to make it back to Hurricane West Virginia. See, that's what I'm saying. People listen to you and look at you, and they're watching you. And a lot of times it's because of exactly who you are. And if you're like them, they have more of a propensity to listen to you. I used my native tongue to certify that we were heading in the right direction. I used my upbringing. West Virginians are more likely to listen to West Virginians. Coal miners are more likely to listen to coal miners. People in the medical profession have a better chance of reaching those in the medical profession. I've never done brain surgery, so I'm not going to reach brain surgeons very, very well. But it means whatever your ethnicity is, whatever that happens to be, use it. But the cool thing about that is this, about your upbringing or whatever. Rather than using your differences to divide and exclude others from our circles of influence, we're to use our cultural and physical differences to a means of gaining entrance into the lives of other people for the purpose of bringing them into the ever-widening circle of people that we can now call brothers and sisters in Christ. Can I get a witness? Means our family of faith keeps growing outwardly and in various ways. It means that as time goes by, we start looking more and more and more like the body of Christ that is changing to reflect who God is. In fact, the more people of all different nationalities, races, and backgrounds come into the faith of Christ, the more the church begins to mirror and to picture what it says in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. It said, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" All saying the same thing, worshiping the same Lord, proclaiming the same Christ. Those who don't understand the gospel keep trying to tell us, "Well, that your faith in Jesus is too exclusivistic. It's too exclusivistic." That shows their ignorance of the gospel. See, the great thing about the gospel is it is inherently inclusive. And that's exactly what makes the gospel of salvation through Christ, faith in Christ, unlike the religions of the world. Religions generally are for the purpose of making certain groups feel superior to others. I'd like religions that give people a sense that they're in some way elite or special category. The gospel tells us that we're all alike. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Because Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Religions offer rituals and sacrifices to make people feel like they're earning God's favor. The gospel tells us there's nothing we can do to earn God's forgiveness. That Jesus paid it all. It's all by God's grace. Jesus did what we could not do for ourselves in shedding his blood on the cross. Religions try to help us glory in our own wisdom and knowledge as if we're some Illuminati. The gospel tells us we're not saved by our wisdom or elevated by our education or how many letters we have behind our name. None of those matters. Look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, just another page, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. "Concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by God." In Galatians 5:6, he said it again. "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith, working through love." Paul says it isn't about your ethnicity. It isn't about your racial identity. It isn't about your wisdom, about how much you think you know. None of those things matter. What is really matters is whether or not you know God. And if you know God, you're going to know the love of God that surpasses all knowledge. Can I get a witness? The way people know if you know God, it's about whether or not you're loving other people. You're going to use every opportunity that you have. You're going to use whatever you've got, whatever circumstance you're in, to be a witness for the Son of God. All those things can do is open doors for you so that someone says, "You know, I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to listen to that guy or that gal. She's been where I am, or he knows where I've come from. That person knows the side of the tracks on which I was born. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 3:27 through 29, because here's the inclusive part. He says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The cool thing, Abraham was called the friend of God. Woo-hoo. How do you like that as a moniker for your name? I'm a friend of God. I'm living for Him. Doesn't matter what color you were born. Doesn't matter if your hair is straight, curly, or bald. Doesn't matter if you're a Yankee or a Southerner. God made you like He made you for a reason. Don't tell me your life doesn't matter. Young people, listen to me. You matter. The fact that you're here with your hair, your eyes, your build, your height, everything about you is special and unique to you. God created you to be here. And He puts you in the circumstances you're here in because He knows He can use you like He can use nobody else quite like you. You matter to God. How sad if people are not understanding and we're not building into our young people the responsibility that they have. They're created by God, special and unique, to be servants of the Most High. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Use your birth circumstances to share the gospel. Secondly, use your social circumstances. Look at verse 21 in chapter 7. He said, were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You are bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. It's unfortunate that when most people read scriptures like these today, they read them through a 21st century lens and a mindset, and they miss by taking these words out of context. They try to say that the Bible advocates slavery, and that's the complete opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't advocate slavery. These verses demonstrate it clearly advocates against slavery. And there are those who will say, yes, but Paul never says abolish slavery. Well, may I remind you of something? Paul nor any of the other biblical writers ever lived in a democracy or a republic. They didn't have the freedom to vote on what was going to take place in their lives or in their culture. In fact, they were under supreme emperors and cultural governors of their regions. If you would have picked up a sign and gone out to protest, you would have found your head on a pike somewhere the next day. They just didn't have. Guys, we have so many privileges in this United States of America. Can I get a witness? So we have so much freedom. The gospel was recorded in the first century, and the world was ruled under the direction of the emperors and the Roman government. They couldn't make laws. They were subject to laws. Paul said, listen, if you're called as a slave, don't let that keep you from your real identity in Christ. You've been set free. Jesus said, whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free in Christ. But none of us are free to do as we please. We are a slave to Christ in the same way. But God didn't call you to be a slave. He said, verse 22 reminds us, even one in forced servitude, that Jesus has come for freedom. You know, in the first century, slavery was different from that illicit, vile, inhumane, unbiblical practice of the 19th century America. Most of those in slavery in the first century were in bonds due to their failure to pay debts. You see, back in that day, if you ran up your credit card too far, they didn't give you an extension. You got debtor's prison if you were in debt and you could not pay. And the creditor could determine where you went. The creditor most often would say, well, putting him in prison is not going to do me any good, so I'm going to let him work off the debt. And that's what they would do. Most slaves actually were people who were enslaved because of debt. A lot of slaves even received a small stipend. And that's why Paul says, if you can buy your freedom, by all means, do so. So the slaves still held some freedoms. Do you know something? I'm going to tell you a little something. I want you to look at Revelation 18. When Babylon the Great, which is the last of the world's great systems, falls, it says in verses 11 through 13, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. One of the little known or little discussed markers of the soon return of Jesus Christ is going to be that the dastardly practice of slavery is once again going to flourish in this world. Did you know that right now there are 21 million people being trafficked around the world in some form of slavery? 71% of those are women and girls being sexually trafficked today. Jesus is coming back. Amen. Jesus is coming back because he will not allow such practices to carry on forever. Can I get a witness? Our God is a good God. Paul said, look, don't go into debt, because Proverbs tells you that the one who is in debt is in bondage to the creditor. And that's why in verse 23 says, you were bought at a price, and a very high price, the price of Jesus' own son. Do not become slaves of men. Contrary to popular belief, the Bible doesn't promote, enforce, or approve of slavery in any form whatsoever. And it also doesn't approve of indebtedness, which makes us slaves. You know, I think about the awful, awful practices that took place in this country in centuries past. And I look at those who were abolitionists and those who came out of the civil rights movement, all arose out of the church. They all came from the church, and they always stood for the abolition of slavery because of their religious convictions. That's why it bothers me so much to hear people who make a big show about their opposition to organized religion. They're never willing to admit the many freedoms and blessings they've received are specifically because of the advances of Christianity and its influence on American culture. That's who we are. We're to be influencing our culture for freedom, for responsibility, for respect of all human life. Amen. And that includes those in the womb. Can I get a witness? But Paul said, even in the worst of circumstances, to those in slavery, he says, if they were believers, live through the difficulties. Live through the difficulties with your face up, because this is not the end of your life. And your circumstances do not determine who you are in Jesus Christ. Good attitudes, humility, a witness of the gospel of God's love. He was saying, even to those who were oppressing them. No matter how difficult your circumstances may be, the transforming power of the gospel can use them by using you to live for Jesus Christ in whatever your circumstance. I'm going to tell you again, those who live for Jesus Christ or in Christ have only two choices. They will either be warriors for Christ, or they'll become worriers for the world. They'll either become victims of circumstance, or they'll become victors for Christ. Let me tell you something, young people. We've got all this freedom. The Bible says use your freedom as an opportunity to serve others in love and to serve Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, young people. The Bible doesn't promote slavery, but it doesn't ever promote sloth either. The Bible teaches us to work hard, make a decent living, be productive citizens, make a contribution to the society instead of becoming a leech to suck out of it whatever you can get. Listen to what 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received. Verses 10 through 12 say, even when we were with you, we commanded this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. I know some people can't work, but when you can do so, can I get a witness? The Bible advocates a good, honest day's work for a good, honest day's wage. The Bible said it long before that old rock and roll hymn said it. Yip, 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 mum, 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 get a job, shining. Young people, it's not mommy and daddy's responsibility to take care of you from the womb to the grave. As important as it is for you to get a good education, find work that allows you to make a decent living, it's even more important for you to be involved in the work of sharing the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus comes back, this world will not be ready. And that means many of the people you love will not be ready to meet Jesus at his return unless you were specifically created and made to be you, to be in the lives of the people that you love and know. Are about letting God use you, circumstances and all, for the glory of God. I'm thankful that we saw one young lady do that just this morning. Say, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk through this world for Christ. And not just for myself. What are you going to do with your circumstances, young people? Are you going to be caught under them? Or are you going to use them for the glory of God? Let's pray. Father, instead of griping and complaining about our circumstances, we need to be praising and thanking you that we are not bound by our circumstances. You are far above our circumstances, and if you're in us, that means we are too. So, Lord, whatever you want to do, whatever person you're calling, whatever heart you're touching and reaching, I pray that this day, Lord, they'd have done with lesser things and they'd quit thinking about other people and they'd focus on you and the love that you have for them and the Savior who died for them, that they might live for him as we've seen this very day. In Jesus' name and amen.